Good to see everybody here this morning. Hope you've had a good week. Kind of hard not to after you get about an inch and a half of rain for the first time. I can't remember when we had that much rain in Happy. I'm not sure if some of the outlying areas got quite as much, but we're certainly grateful for everything we've got. Good to see everybody starting to feel better again as well. I know it has been one of those years, but I think it's been one of those 2 years. And so it has been a long haul. And as Guy mentioned, we still have a number that we want to continue to remember in our prayers, and some new ones now that are coming up that we want to also remember. But we especially want to remember Brittany in our prayers. Brittany and Colton are due to have a son just any day now, maybe any minute now. And so wouldn't that be exciting? But they're going to be having Copeland is going to be coming into this world soon. And we definitely want to remember them in our prayers, that everything goes just perfect with that. There's nothing funner than having babies around and to add life to the entire congregation. So we're looking forward to that. This has been one of those years, I think, for a lot of people. I don't remember one quite like this before. It started off, I guess, probably about mid-March when we found out that Mary was not doing well, my mother-in-law. And, of course, just a few weeks later, Mary went on to meet her reward. And so just a few months later, my dad passed on as well. And these are difficult times, and yet at the same time, if you were to ask either my dad or my mother-in-law, Mary, if they led the type of lives we think they did, they wouldn't want to come back. They would like us to come see them sometime, but they wouldn't want to come back. And they have reached or attained that for which they were created in the first place, to be able to go to eternity. I think one of the reasons it's so hard for us to accept somebody as not being there anymore is because they still are there. You and I will always be who we are. The only question will be is where will we be dwelling? And that's what the scriptures have to answer for us. But having said all that, going through all this is not that easy, is it? My dad, earlier this year, when he started realizing his health was declining, realized that he needed to get their house on the market as quickly as possible so they could take care of that. And they did, and they got it sold, and then it fell through, and they got it sold again, and they thought they were all done with it, had an estate sale, and got them moved into a new facility that was a little bit easier for them. And then they got the message just a few weeks ago that the buyer was not happy with something. Apparently he was stunned. It was not a brand new house, and he would like money to make it a brand new house. And so now my mom is going through all that. And we just had mediation this last week and met with the people who had bought it, met with the retired judge who did the mediation, and he was a little bit surprised himself that this was still going on. But it is still going on. And sometimes those things are a little bit difficult to go through, and especially as you're watching someone that you love go through it. Watching mom have to go through all this has been a little bit difficult. How do you get through these times and the different things that each one of us go through? Because we all do go through different things. How do you get through those times? And the Word of God has the answer. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, I think one of the most comforting passages of Scripture contained within the Old or the New Testament. But within the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus is speaking. And he's speaking to these very types of situations. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Just think about that for a moment. Why is it when we kind of step back from our service to God that we step back from our service to God? Isn't it typically because we think we have so many things that we're dealing with and so many difficult things to go through that we just can't take that kind of time? And when we do, when we kind of back off of our relationship with God and with Christ, we start finding that we are carrying these burdens alone. God never intended for us to do that. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." One of the greatest blessings in all of Christianity is peace. Matter of fact, I think peace is what most people are seeking in their life when they go seeking outside of God's will. People will get involved in all sorts of illicit relationships, or they'll get involved with greed, or they'll get involved with different types of substances, alcohol or drugs, or they'll watch things they shouldn't watch, or they'll do things they shouldn't do. Why are they doing that? And isn't it true? It's because these things they think will make them happy. And yet these things, which are very often forbidden, are the very things that add to our burden. And so Jesus wants us to not have that burden. So he says, "Come to me." And then he tells us why. And he tells us what to do. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Now, we might think that's the last thing I want, it's another burden. And he says, "Take my yoke and learn from me." But what he's willing to do is trade it. He's willing to trade the difficulties of your life for the labor in his service. It's a good trade. There's nothing, I believe, more satisfying than good work. I like work. I don't know if you can say that in modern day society, but I really enjoy work. I like doing things. I like accomplishing things. Satisfying work is a blessing, not a curse. I think everybody here knows that. So the yoke that Christ is inviting us to take upon him is satisfying work. And then he reminds us, "I'm gentle and humble in heart." And then he repeats what he said earlier, "And you'll find rest for your souls." Doesn't rest sound good from time to time? You just get going and it's just one thing after another, and you think, "I just can't take this anymore." Rest sounds really good. And rest for our souls sounds really good. But how do we attain that? Jesus in verse 30 said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The way we attain that is through Christ. And that's why couched in the middle of all this conversation, "Come to me, you'll find rest," is "Learn from me." And that's what we want to talk about for the remaining time we have today, is that learning from Christ. Because when we learn from Christ what it is that he wants us to do, and then we actually apply it to our lives get really, really good. And we know this is true because every time we try it, that's what we find. But we get distracted, don't we? I was listening to a speaker recently. His name is Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. Don't know if I've ever heard him before, but he was talking about the importance of having a purpose in your life. As a matter of fact, he said this purpose in our life is what allows us to get through the things that we're going through and to move on past the difficulties that we've had. So many people live in the past. They think about something that has happened to them in the past and they just can't let it go. I cannot tell you how many people I've talked to through the years who had a bad experience at a church or had a bad experience as they were trying to live a godly life, and so they just decided, that's it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I can't remember. I don't think I mentioned this here last week. If I did, forgive me. I mentioned it at the funeral, but so I can't remember if I've talked about it here or not. But it involved a situation with my dad when we were in Casper, Wyoming. And he was a deacon there, and he was treasurer for the church there. And we were starting a school of preaching, a very noble idea, to be sure. And our preacher was an incredible worker, and he was incredibly enthusiastic about this school of preaching, so much so that he kind of maybe went a little bit faster than everybody was comfortable with, and he went out and hired a teacher for the school of preaching. and there were just weren't any funds for a small congregation in Casper, Wyoming to pay him. And so this preacher did a very noble thing. He gave this teacher the preacher's house and his salary. But then the elders went to my dad and they said, now when you make out the preacher's check, we want you to make it out to the teacher, but we want you to put it on the books as preacher's salary. And Dad got to thinking about that, and Dad, having been in finance, and in fact having a finance degree, said, well, I don't believe I can do that. Well, they who I believe were very sincere in what they were doing. They were not trying to do anything wrong. They couldn't understand that. And they just asked him, well, are you defying the directives of the elders? And Dad said, well, I'm not trying to do anything of the sort. I just don't think that you can legally do this. And so they decided that they would remove him from his position as treasurer and from being a deacon. And they had a big meeting with the men of the congregation. And they explained what they were doing. And one of the other men there said, now, just wait a minute. He said, well, think about what you're doing. You're wanting to remove Ed Bloodworth from a position for being ethical. You know, he's one of the most ethical men that I know. And they said, well, yeah, but he's defying the directives of the eldership. And then one of the men there that was a CPA later on had received the same instructions, and he just asked him, why do you think you could do this and get away? But anyway, the long and the short of it was that for trying to do what was right, he got in really a difficulty, an unpleasant situation. But instead of getting mad and no longer worshiping there, he just graciously stepped back and he continued to worship there. And the reason that I bring this up is because there will be times in your life where something happens, an unpleasant situation, maybe even amongst Christians who you would expect to handle it a little bit differently than they're doing. And you may be tempted to remove yourself from service to God because of that. But you can't do that. And the reason you can't do that is because you have a purpose. And now let me get back to this idea of what I was listening to with this Jim Rohn. He pointed out that by having a purpose in your life, he said one author referred to it as a magnificent obsession. The Bible refers to it as the outcome of our faith or our goal of our faith. But by having a purpose, it allows you to put the past behind you. And just leave it, let it rest. There will be things that will happen in your life that maybe you wish didn't happen that way, but will that stop you from serving God in the best possible way that you can? The other thing that a purpose will allow you to do, a goal in life, and let's define that goal now for Christians. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, you are receiving the goal of your faith. Some of your versions will say the end of your faith or the outcome of your faith. You are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so if you and I have a legitimate purpose in life that God wants us to have as our biggest goal, our biggest purpose in life, then it allows us to get past these hard times. It allows us to just let them go. So a purpose, a noble purpose in life, will allow you to leave the past behind, but it will do something else. A genuinely noble purpose, one that God wants for you to have, the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls, will allow you to get through the difficulties of the day. Because is it not true that a really hard day can shake our faith if we're not careful? And a really hard month can set us back so much that our head may just spin for a while. And a really hard year could just do a lot of people in. And if you don't have a purpose in your life that will help you to get through that, you just got it to go through. I was talking to Charisse on Friday night. For those of you who don't know, AJ, my son, is a crop consultant, and Charisse and Rebecca, my daughters, work as scouts for him. They go out into the fields, and as I like to say, they check for mud and bugs. Well, Charisse got caught 7 times in the mud this year. Never had a year like that before. She just got stuck in it 4 times so badly she had to have somebody come and pull her out. But fortunately, she knew what to do when she got stuck in mud, and she had a purpose. I've got to get to the next field. I've got to finish this field. The farmer probably cannot plant his crops around me and water them and plant them with me in this field, so I need to get out of it. And she was able to get out of the mud from being stuck. There are too many people in this life that get stuck, that allow themselves to get stuck, or for no fault of their own, they find themselves stuck in the mud. And because they don't have a purpose that allows them to push through those times, they lose focus on what they're here for. The reason that you and I are here is to serve God to the best of our ability according to His terms. Remember what Jesus said, learn from me, so that we can be with Him forever to serve Him in eternity. I've often thought about people who don't have any desire to serve God on His terms now. What would make them think that they would enjoy eternity, serving Him forever? I don't know. That just seems kind of strange to me. I'll live my life on my terms, but I'm going to go and stay with God for all eternity and live on His terms. I still want heaven, but I want to get there my way. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But if you and I have a purpose, a goal, a reason for our living, then we can get through the difficult times. And that's why Jesus says that we can come to Him and He will give us rest. I was reading this passage today. Each morning when I get up, I always try and start the morning with a Bible reading, a really quick one usually. I'll read from one of the Psalms. And I'll read, after that, I'll read from one of the chapters of the Proverbs. And it takes literally just almost exactly a half a year. And the interesting thing this morning was I was thinking about all the things that we've been going through and trying to just get my mind clear from what all has been happening and trying to figure out what we need to do for Mom. And you know how that is. You get the poor me's as if somehow you're going through something that other people aren't going through. And I read the 4th chapter of Proverbs. And the interesting thing to me was, in the 4th chapter of Proverbs, it was the very chapter I was in 1/2 a year ago when my mother-in-law passed. And it was a difficult time, and I can remember underlining a few passages within the fourth proverb, and I can remember putting the date down and the occasion for why I was underlining it. And I came to verse 5. And through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writer, Solomon here probably, said this: get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. This is God speaking. And when He says, don't decline from the words of my mouth, He's saying, don't back off, don't leave the path. And then in verse 6, talking about His will, wisdom, he says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. When Jesus said, learn from me, as we talk about the word of God and the words of Christ, these are words that really will preserve us if we don't forsake them. And we won't forsake them. We'll stay in His path if we can remember the goal of our faith, the purpose for our being here. And I just thought it was interesting that 26 weeks ago to the day, when we were kind of suffering through the grief of our loss, here this passage was. And then in verse 23, it says this: keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. When we talk about our purpose in life, we are talking about really keeping our faith in a way that requires us to keep our heart with all vigilance. Are you keeping your heart with all vigilance? Or do you allow things to just kind of knock you off the mark? Oh, here's something interesting to look at on the internet. Probably shouldn't be looking at it, but oh, look at that. Somebody does something to you and you say something to them, either harsh or cruel, or you're using language you shouldn't use, but there you've done it. See, we're not keeping our heart with all vigilance. Now, I admit, this is easy to say and hard to do. I'm not suggesting that you use me as an example. I'm saying you use the Word as an example. And I'm suggesting that when Jesus says, learn from me, that we do. Because the only way that you and I can get through the difficult times is if we have a purpose, and that purpose involves God. Do you know that the reason that we have a purpose is because God does? He calls it His eternal purpose. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and principalities in heavenly places, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that for a moment. If God had an eternal purpose, has an eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus, does that not make sense that we also have to have a main purpose in our life, an eternal purpose? And that purpose for us has to be the same, has to be in accord with God's eternal purpose. And that's a life of living for Him in Christ so that we can be with them forever. The Bible tells us what we need to do for that. But sometimes, because our purpose is either fuzzy or maybe it's convoluted, we get to thinking that we can do things that are outside of His will. Kind of like that CPA said to two very fine men, mind you, who were wrong but who thought they were right. What makes you think you can do this? I think there's a lot of times where we, trying to act as very fine men and women, servants of God, we actually find ourselves doing the exact opposite of what He wants us to do, and we think it's okay, and we even think that it's noble and good. And I wonder sometimes if God is not looking down at us, just shaking His head, thinking, what makes you think you can do that? Do you have a noble purpose in your life? Is the essence of your life to live for God and to live for Christ? Because if it is, and you are living for them in their way, and we are learning from God, and we are learning from the words of Christ, so that we know not only who we're serving, but how to serve them, we're going to have a pretty good life. There will be difficult times. There will be difficult days, there will be difficult months, there will be difficult years. But you have a purpose, and that purpose is heaven. And that purpose is also helping as many people to come along with you on that journey. Are you doing that? Let me read one more thing and we'll close. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Lest we think that our burden is just too much that Christ is giving to us. Look at this. It's a very short verse, but it's powerful. It says, cast your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. I watched my mom go through some very difficult times of late, but one of the most impressive things to me has been this. There's been I mentioned the difficulty she's had with trying to get this house finished up and the buyer kind of harassing her in ways that I don't really think are rational. But it's impressive to listen to her because she says she is praying for things to work out for both of them. She wants it to work out the way it needs to. She has casted her anxieties upon God and upon Christ, and she has done so with a confidence, a faith, that they'll take care of her, even during something as difficult as this. What kind of difficulties are you going through now? It may very well be that you're going through something that is beyond anything you've gone through before. Maybe you've gone through something in the past that was so difficult, you just can't let it go. Let me encourage you, if that is the case, to get your purpose set, to get your purpose aligned with God's eternal purpose, because He wants you to be with Him in heaven forever. And He wants that so much that He let Jesus Christ die on the cross for your sins and for mine. He wants you to be with Him. And Jesus wants us to cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian today, we'd love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we would also be honored to do that. But if we can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing?